Hello and welcome back as the Jamf Training Institute presents another episode of the Magician's Call podcast. We have a great episode for you as we introduced Edit B. Kiss, a holistic mentor and success habit coach, along with many other talents. It's a great episode and can't wait for you to hear it. If you want to support the Magician's Call podcast, make sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts. So without any further ado, Dr. Al-Samrai, take it away.
Welcome back to another episode of The Magician's Call. I'm Dr. Lahab Al-Samrai, and with me today is Edit B. Kiss. She is a holistic mentor, success habit coach, and number one best-selling author, humanitarian award winner, international speaker. She works with clients to release long-lasting pains, blockages, ancestor defects, and emotional traumas so they can live a fulfilled and joyful lives. Edit was originally a petroleum engineer working in the petroleum industry for 15 years before being a full-time life coach. During those years, she trained to become a Reiki master, a Sikkim healer, and a karma yoga. Strength her extra senses and worked on several family consolation therapies. So, without further ado, Edit, how are you doing today?
Hi, Dr. Lahab. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great.
Yeah.
Thank you for the introduction.
How is London, by the way? How's the weather? How are you guys doing?
It's great. It's great weather. We already feel the spring.
Yeah.
Trees are blossoming. So it's awesome. Yeah.
Fantastic. You know, what's interesting is that in our first episode, I had Stephanie Strange. She's a musician. She's also a magician. You're a magician. Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your work.
Yeah. So since I understand that we are a multidimensional beings in physical body, since I understand that, and then I surrender to the truth that we are one with the universe.
Yeah.
And basically I actually can work with energies, then I already started to stepping into the magician mode, I would say. And then by time, as I elevated myself, as I learned more modalities and I get into more into my power, then I learned that I am not just able to use the energies which projected to me or being able to transform those energies and being controlled by the energies, but I can also control the energies themselves, like invoke them and use them on a powerful way for healing for other people, basically. Yeah. Actually step into parallel realities and using this for our best practices.
Yeah, give us a story. Tell us a story about one of your success stories, your work, one of the stories that stood out for you working with someone.
Yeah, I mean, one of the my cutest story is that one day I was traveling from the airport to the city. I was traveling on a bus and then there was many people around me. And then lady was sitting in front of me and I've seen that she was in pain. She had probably on her knees, she had like a surgery, you know. So I was seeing that she's uncomfortable, she's moving around, she's in pain. And then I asked her, I already started to feel that my hands were buzzing. You know, I was sitting in front of her and then I felt I need to help her. And then started my hands buzzing. And then I actually asked her if I can help, but she didn't speak English. So a friend translated. And then I said, like, I can help you with some healing so you feel better. And she was like, okay. So then I started to hear her, like the bus was packed with people, you know, but I felt like I need to help. So I put my hands on it for 10 minutes. And then I was projecting the healing energies. And then after like 10 minutes when I felt it's over, you know, I said to her, it's done. So she started to move around her leg and then she was so surprised that the pain gone, you know, and then she was actually full of smile all the way until we got into the city. And then I was also feeling great, you know, that I was actually helped someone with the pain.
Yeah. You know, when I work with people and they release something, a lot of the time, depending on the release, there is a residual irritation or some feeling state because it's negative, right? What they're releasing is is charged up negative energy, and sometimes that gets under my skin. How do you deal with it? How do you work with that?
If it's how it's impacting me,
Yeah, if it
others.
impacts you, instead of feeling really good, you start to feel really bad. They feel really good. Like I could tell, like sometimes my clients would say, like, I feel great. I'm like, oops. Then I'm gonna feel part of whatever they let go.
It's
Somehow has rubbed up against me on its way out.
yeah, so it there is different way you can deal with this
Yeah.
basically. One is like detach completely from the person, so allowing that the energies that to flow towards the person without acknowledging that what you're doing. So
Yeah.
basically surrender to the energies, then
Yeah.
it's not coming back only that way, only one
Yeah.
way. So that's the one thing. Other thing, you can actually use energy protection
Yeah.
with source energy and love energy to protect your own field.
Yeah.
And the other thing is just basically if you feel drained after maybe a couple of healings, you can actually recharge yourself with the
Yeah.
to heal yourself.
Yeah. Interesting. It's very interesting. How did you, how, when did you discover?
So,
When did you wake up to it? When was the first time you looked around and said, yeah, it doesn't look right?
when I was thinking to actually become a healer or
No,
what did
just when you realized that there were other planes, that the world is not what it seems.
Oh, it was very early. Like when I
Yeah.
was a child, I always had like very vivid dreams. You know,
Yeah.
like when I went to sleep every night, it was like a whole adventure. Like
Yeah.
I always loved sleeping because it was another world, another life, all coming alive. And then in the morning, every morning I was telling to my mom the stories of my dreams. And then I always ask like, what have you dreamed of? And she was like a bread. And I was like, okay, and what was happening to the bread? And she was nothing. It was just a bread. And then realize that other people doesn't have the same kind of dreams or other people doesn't have the same kind of experiences. And then it's ongoing for me, like for this more than 40 years now, like basically every night having those experiences, adventures, going into parallel realities basically. So that was already an aha moment back then. But then I loved
Who
mythology.
acknowledged it for you? Who was the adult in your life who said, it's okay to be this way?
Basically, my Reiki master, like it was
Yeah.
way later, like
Yeah.
years later, many years later. So that was when we stepped into different dimensions. You know, when I was consciously learning how to step into different dimensions or how to actually heal ancestors or other soul family and so on and so forth. So that's when I acknowledged that it's easy to actually go into other dimension or parallel realities to
Yeah.
do things.
It's very interesting. Yeah. Tell me about how you got into engineering. What you got from engineering and then you.
Yeah, basically, even though I loved history, I loved geography, I love mythology, you know, it's like traveling and the historical places I was really drawn towards it. But you know, in my conscious mind, I was saying like, okay, but I need to make a living, you know? So kind of like, and then I was good at math as well. So I was like, let's do something with analytical skills and engineering, and the petroleum engineering was a good place to travel as well.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into it because I was excited about the travel opportunity and I knew it's going to be easy for me because of the analytical skills. So that's why I started. And then it was really adventurous. So I am really grateful for it because I really traveled around the world due to that
Yeah.
profession. Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Hungary.
Yeah.
Yeah, so until I was 18, yeah, basically 19, I was growing up there. Then I was traveling more abroad. I was even being like nanny or a babysitter or au pair, you know, in
Yeah.
other countries,
Yeah.
or even I went to a cruise ship to be a waitress. So I was always traveling around. I loved experiencing new things and then adventures. And yeah, so but basically in my young life, it was in Hungary in the communist era. So we haven't really had connection with spirituality or religion. We were not taught to that or not learned about it. So I had to explore it myself when I was in my teenage years. That's when I started to buy books about religions, you know, first, like what is Taoism, what is Buddhism, what is Christianity, you know, like all of these things I started to read about. And I was thinking like maybe I should pick one, you know, but then I realized that all of them has its own truths, you know, it's like very similar. And then when I get into all other kinds of modalities, I learned like I don't need to stick to one. I just need to in tune with the energies, you know, with the source. And then basically, that's what it is.
That's magician archetype, right? You don't need to pick one. They're all interconnected.
Yes.
You just need to understand how they're interconnected. Yeah, very interesting. Well, tell me about your work. How do you do your work now? Do you have an office? Do you have a home office? Tell me about you. Tell me what you do.
Yeah, so basically, I have home office. I do everything online since COVID. So before COVID, how I was doing sessions and I was going to people's houses, people's places to do meditations or to do healing sessions. But after COVID, I actually realized that yeah, we started to do online things, you know, Zoom and so on and so forth. And all of the modalities I do, it's possible through online. And it's actually opened up my opportunities to many countries, you know. So most of my clients are from the US. I also have clients from Middle East, Asia, Europe. So it's very easy to actually, I just have to check the time zones, you know, and then I can have clients from early morning to midnight, you know. So basically it's so wide. And yeah, so I connect with them on Zoom, and then actually I do meditation sessions or trauma healing sessions, which is like a something like a timeline therapy, a source memory healing to help them to release traumas. I help them with energy healing. I also help them in mindfulness, you know, learning about subconscious reprogramming as well. So this is the main areas which I help the clients with.
Interesting. Who comes to you?
Some of them are already spiritual healers. They are some of them are who's already maybe Reiki master or angel healers or spiritual people who went through many modalities but didn't get the right help. They were still struggling, you know, they are in the awakening journey and they are still struggling to release traumas or heal from situations or feel stuck, you know, in their conditions. So they come to me and basically they learn the transcendental meditation. They learn actually to activate their pineal gland, to open their third eye more, and then tune into more into their intuition, you know, their higher self, and then basically also releasing traumas and karma and ancestral effect is a really big deal to tap into their past lives, you know, also to gain some skills from their past life, acknowledging that their past life is also impacting their current life. So this is what where we tune into. And then I also have a facilitator training, which actually some of these clients were actually wanted to learn these techniques to actually also help their clients with. So I help them to learn it. So it's a certificate facilitator training that I also do in a group session, but I have one-on-one coaching for this kind of people. And then also I got clients for depression. That's very common, mental health issues, depression, panic attacks, feeling just, you know, unhappy, lost, these kind of things. And I also have many clients who come specifically for trauma release, so or abuse trauma or some childhood traumas. They come specifically to release that because they feel anxious, stress, limited, you know, PTSD after this experience.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. So it seems like you work with initiation. You're helping initiate people who are trying to find their way as a magician. That's fantastic because a lot of magicians are lost and are not initiated and don't understand what it is that they really should be doing, or they haven't really kind of touched that part of them. They're usually chasing something, but they don't know what is chasing them. And so
Absolutely.
you help them understand what's chasing them. and where they're going out to chase. So I find that fascinating. So do you have any stories you could tell us or share with us about any client who found their way? You initiated them and they found their way and
Yeah, absolutely. I had clients who felt like lost and like they haven't had the vision, you know, they haven't had that path. Many people feel like unhappy in their condition or
Yeah.
unhappy in their situation, and but they don't know which way to go. You know, they don't know what's next, and this makes them feel stuck. So yes, I had a client like that, and then we started to do the meditations, we started to do the releases, the healing
Yeah.
processes. And after like a month working with me, she was saying like, wow, it's so amazing. Now I feel empowered. Now I know where I'm heading towards. And then now I know actually that I am worthy, and then I can do all of the things which I'm planning now. And actually I have the vision. I have the intuition what step to take. So yes, I had this kind of clients. And actually I have a book on the healer's journey.
Yeah.
It's a coaching book
Hold
for
it up a
sales.
little bit.
Yeah, so it's like
There
this.
you go. Yeah. Okay.
So it's on the healer's journey. It's a
Yeah.
coaching book for seekers. And as you were mentioning that helping magicians who are on the awakening and they still
Yeah.
don't know where they are heading, this book is for them actually. So
Yeah.
I wrote this back in 2020 and published in 22. And this is actually for helping them to navigate better, to not to get sidetracked on their path, you know, to getting into their light, to become a healer, to become a light worker and embody that, you know, and not to get doubts from their environment and so on and so forth.
Fascinating. So, do you tell us more about tell us more about you?
Yeah, I mean, I started this coaching like 6 years ago in 2018 when I met my karma guru and I first experienced this transcendental meditation and I started to have the breadcrumbs from the universe and it was calling me to London. And it was a very weird experience because I was coming to London for an event, for like a digital marketing event, after I had this transcendental meditation like a couple of weeks later. And I was sitting in the taxi going from the airport to the hotel. And suddenly I started to cry. And I was like, why am I crying? I'm not a person who's just easily crying. So I was suddenly crying. And then the word came to me, home. And I was like, London, home? I don't even like this city. You know, it was very weird. And then I often like contemplated after a couple of days, and then I after a week I went home, and then I was still thinking about it, and I was looking for more breadcrumbs, you know, more signs, and they were coming. And then after like a couple of months, I was also doing the training with the guru, and then I already knew that this is it. This is what I have to do. I have to become a healer, a life coach basically, and I have to move to London to establish my business there. That's where I have to go. So in 5 months' time, I'm actually moved there and I moved here and I started my business. So it was very profound, very strong calling to do so basically. And then yeah, and it was a great journey. So I'm really excited about it. And then I'm always open for my in to my intuition. I was always guided more by my intuition than by my ego. How can I say I'm a go-getter? I'm an action taker, like a yes man. You know, some people call it like yes man. So basically, when some opportunity come or I feel the calling, like intuitively, like I need to do something, then I'm doing it. And the first time when I was, for example, traveled alone, like I was 19 years old, and I was actually that was also traveling to London, be an au pair. And I was in a bus at night, a coach, you know, I was traveling from Hungary to London on a bus, crossing Germany. And I was sitting on the bus middle of the night, and I was like wondering, like, what am I doing? I don't even speak English. This is my first time alone out of the country. You know, I'm so young and whatever. And I was like, what the heck I'm doing? So basically, I make the decisions before I'm already my ego wakes up and start doubting me because I'm so much connected with my higher self that I always follow that empowered message that yes, go, do, blah. And then the ego is just like lacking behind all the time and waking up late when it's like You
It's
can't do
screaming,
anything.
don't do that. That's crazy. That's a crazy idea. Don't do that.
But it's all a little
Don't go
bit.
that way. That's not the way you should go. Yeah, so you listen to the archetypal calling. Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, it's was it yesterday, I think we were talking about the lover archetype. And when we talk about the magician archetype, we're talking about being able to commune with the universe, being able to hear the universe in a very different way, and being able to see different planes of existence, and being able to be on different planes of existence without having to actually leave the physical world. You could stay in the physical world, although it's taxing, in my experience, is always taxing, but it's a natural state. I think magicians, there's a reawakening of the magician archetype. I think it's sorely needed. I think that kids today are waking up to a new consciousness of the archetypal magician. The archetypal magicians, have been throughout history, the stories about them in different courts in Egypt and Mesopotamia, all over the world. They from the Incas to the Mayans, all had magicians, shamans, they were called healers, witch doctors, there's travelers. So I have this knack of traveling also. I have this, like, it's the most I feel at home is when I'm not, which is very strange. Like most people is like, yeah, I love being at home. And for me, it's like when I'm out on the road, when I travel through Europe, when I travel through Africa or the Middle East, I'm like, it's a very different feeling. I feel at home. Like, and I sometimes I don't speak the language or I don't know the customs, but I always feel at home. I always feel like I could find my way, or in the end, people are people. I mean, you have to look beyond whatever the barrier is at that point, whether it's cultural or language or customs. If you're looking there, if you're looking long enough, you'll find your connection. You'll find the depth of meaning of what you're searching for. I met this magician, and he told me stories about how he likes to travel to places he's never been. Right. So he started talking. I don't think he knew he was a magician, but he started talking about how he goes to places he's never been. He's like, I always want to go to a place I've never been. I'll just like buy a ticket to go to a place I've never been. And so what's interesting is like you started talking about the ancestors and you're talking about past lives. And so the energy, right, is all interconnected through our lifetime, through many different lifetimes. The energy comes and it's a wave, right? So energy are different waves. So we are perceiving the wave. Anyway, so he starts telling me this, and then he goes, can I tell you something? How we made our children stop on their pacifiers. And he said we took them out into the woods and we sat there and we told them that the kids on the moon didn't have any pacifiers. And he goes, I had gathered all the pacifiers. I needed them to stop like sucking on them. They were getting too old. He goes, I tied them to a helium balloon and just let it go. And they were so excited. They were waving, saying, here, have our pacifiers. So I said, well, you're a magician, right? That's what a magician does. So magicians don't recognize themselves. They do all these things that people ask them. It's like, how did you do that? Or why did you do that? Or how did you think of that? How did you think of like tying them to a balloon and sending them into? How did you think of that? It was a bit, but that's very much magician energy, right? Yeah. I was in Manchester recently and I met two magicians. They were sitting at a table. So we went into this food court and we were walking around the food court in Manchester. It's this old building, is some kind of warehouse that's been converted. So they have like different restaurants. And so I went upstairs to find like a space where you could look out and see everybody. And my friend who was with me, accompanying me on the trip, found a table near the door, near the window. And it was cold outside, it was raining. I was like, why are we sitting over there? There were these two young people who were sitting there. And I came and I was like, I was waiting for you upstairs. You know, he wasn't answering his phone. I had to go look for him. So I left the table. Anyway, so I get to the table. We sit there and the food starts coming. And it was like they keep bringing chips. There's a lot of chips. So I was like, would you like to have some chips? You know. And my friend is usually pretty reserved and doesn't talk to like everybody. I like talking to people, so I find people interesting. You know, what are you doing? What? And so I gave them my card. I said, "Hey, you know," and they turned out to both be one of them is studying to become a clinician, and the other one is. Is a coach, healer, and we talked for a couple of minutes about JAMP and how the treatment works, and then they were on their way. And then I didn't hear from them, and I left Manchester. I came back to Manchester with another friend, and I was in the hotel and I got a text from Josh, and Josh said, "Hey, you know, I've been thinking about what you were talking about and I'm very interested and I think this is the right moment." And I said, "Well, the interesting thing is I'm back in Manchester and we can talk face to face." So we went to this jazz bar and we were sitting watching a jazz band, and I go to the bar to get some drinks and there's a guy. And he's standing there and he says, "Oh, no, those are my drinks." I said, "No, I just ordered them, but you could have them. I could order more." He said, No, that's my order." I said, "No, it's not. I ordered that, but you could have it. I could order more. It's, you know, you could just pay the bartender for it. It's not a big deal. I'm not in a hurry." He said, No. So he asked the bartender, he said, "Whose drinks are those?" He goes, "That's the gentleman's." I said, "Would you like to have a drink with me?" So anyway, we have a drink and I take our drinks. I go back to the table and he starts following me. He said, "Can I come with you?" I said, "Sure, why not? Come with me." So I had just met them, so we haven't even had a conversation. My friend was with me. And so it was Josh and Kiana. And then this gentleman came with us and he sat down. I said, "What do you do?" He said, "Well, I work for Channel 4. You know, the things that you don't see, the old lady trips over and you have to reconnect." He goes, "But those things don't exist in the world anymore. They exist in the cloud. I know when they're disconnected." I said, "Well, how did you learn this skill? Where did you get the skill?" He goes, "I never studied. I was a bartender, and my friend said there's this job, and I said sure, and you know that's where I work now." I said, "Oh, that's interesting. Okay," and I said, "Well, how do you know if you can't see it?" He goes, "I just know." I said, "Okay, well, sit down," and so I started talking about the magician archetype. And he kept interrupting and telling us he was the example of the magician archetype who's not knowing, who's is kind of lost. So anyway, the place starts closing down. He looks at me. We're standing there and he goes, This place is closing. I'm going to this other place. Do you guys want to come with me? I said, sure. So I looked at them and they're like, okay, kind of random. Why would we follow this person to wherever? Anyway, so he was telling me about his tattoos, and he said, I got this huge tattoo of this ancient Buddhist temple during COVID. I said, why an ancient Buddhist temple? And he said, I don't know. He just thought it was a cool idea. I said, oh, cool idea. He goes, yeah. I said, okay. That's a huge tattoo for a cool idea. He goes, yeah. So anyway, so he starts walking. We like follow him. And he goes, and I had started to talk about the lost cat in the conversation earlier. And so he starts walking and he takes us down another street and he starts walking towards this place and it has a sign. It says lost cat. And so I looked at them, I said, okay, that's what I mean by the magician archetype. All you have to do is follow what you said, which is the breadcrumbs that the universe leaves you, and you will find your way. What the
Yes.
purpose is, at what point, they became students who are training with me now, but that's the universe providing breadcrumbs, showing you the way. So anyway, do you want to tell me a story? You want to tell me something about what are your thoughts?
So my thoughts, so after I did this transcendental meditation and the breadcrumbs were coming, I also started to attract people from my past lives. And then I had like sudden pictures, visions coming in, rushing in with these people in a certain past life situations. And then I understood that I need to work with them, I need to help them, I need to actually also release a karma, which is common like with that person. So it took sometimes months and years to actually get that relationship with that person to be able to release the karma or to actually get into in that what can I say situation to work with me, you know, and to actually acknowledge that yes, we can work together on the energy field and on how to get back their power from their past lives. And then I actually on more and more see that the clients who works with me one-on-one, they are actually had like a very powerful past lives. Like they were either kings or queens or sometimes, you know, priestess or highest priest or wizards, those kind of people. And then why I am working with them, I know that I actually also give them the key to their past life skills or energies or to use that in this lifetime, because sometimes they obviously going through struggles, they going through hardship as they working through themselves, this physical life. And then I give them the tools to actually empower them and then start building themselves up and see the positive things coming to them.
Fascinating. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell people how show them your book again so they can,
Yeah, this is On the Healer's Journey.
on
It's
the heels.
actually it's available on any online platform, so they can just Google it and they can find like where is
Excellent.
the easiest for them to order. And also my website is, my name is editbikis.com. So I have all my social links there. So if they want to go to my YouTube channel, which is Magical Karma Priestess, the link also on my website. And so they can find all the information on my website about the facilitator training as well.
We'd love to have you again. Thank you, Edit. Thank you for being here with us on the Magician's Call.
Thank you, Dr. Lahaben. Thank you, everybody.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for tuning to this episode of The Magician's Call. We hope you enjoyed hearing from Dr. Al-Samari and Etta B. Kiss. We are excited for you all to continue on this journey with us throughout the series. If you enjoy the JAMP Training Institute's Magician's Call podcast, make sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to check out the IFC's Individuation podcast as well. You can also find us on the IFC YouTube. See you again for another episode soon. The IFC is a non-for-profit institution. We do not have any paid advertising for our podcast, but we do accept donations. All donations and contributions are tax deductible. You can find more info at theinstituteforconflict.com.